Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, April 7th, 2026. And I'm really happy to be here today. I just have a lot of really good stuff to share with you. And so I'm going to like kind of get through the announcements quickly because I really want to get to the heart of what the teaching segment, because that's the real beneficial part. So just a reminder, this show is live on 12radio.com right here, right now, and streaming on YouTube. If you'd like to join the chat, you can go to 12radio.com and click chat, and then you can click the YouTube link posted under my banner there. You can also subscribe or just go to my YouTube channel, which is www.youtube.com/@KellyW1850. So either way, you can hear the show. You can also hear it on a replay if that's how you're listening to it right now in the future. And I do have an announcement that I want to make that I'm very excited about. I am going to be Mark Husson's guest on his members-only broadcast on MH Astrology on YouTube next Monday at 4:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 7:30 Eastern. I'm really looking forward to it. I have known Mark since, I don't know if it was 1989 or 1990, long, long time. And, you know, I've been interviewed by Mark several times on different shows that he's hosted. And I'll tell you what, he is the best interviewer I have ever known. He's just really, really good. He picks really good questions. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I'm very, very excited about it. It'll be a lot of fun. So if you want to see that or listen to that, you have to be a member of MH Astrology. So you can find him on YouTube, and how to be a member will be on that. So I'll be doing readings during the show, and I'm sure just talking a mile a minute, which I'm really good at. And again, if you're a member of his channel, I hope you'll tune in. I don't do readings on this show because this is a teaching platform. That's what it is. But if you would like a reading or a healing from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com. I'm usually available later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you don't see me or if I'm busy, just schedule a call, put in a callback request. I'm notified immediately via text of either of those, and I'll get back to you as soon as I possibly can, and I will always do my best to meet your schedule. We do have, as a reminder to you, reduced rates on calls and chats a few times a week on 12listen. Typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and of course the 12th of each month, which just happens to be this coming Sunday. And we call it 12day because we are all things 12. And what 12day is a day of random reduced rates, meaning all of the advisors are at all different rates, and those rates change throughout the day. And they're the best rates of the month. I mean, they just are. It's a lot of fun. It's a great energy on 12day, just because it's kind of, I guess, maybe faster paced. I don't know what it is, but it's fun. It's fun. Also, aside from reduced rates, there will be special pricing on time-based sessions, email-based services, and other services. And those are, you know, whatever the individual advisors have to offer. I will have a 15-minute, 12-day special, and it'll just be my welcome spring 15-minute special, 15-minute time-based session at a very special rate. So that's the best. I mean, spring, you know the spiel, if you listen to me. Spring symbolizes new beginnings. Bam, in our face, things are turning green, flowers are blooming. My next door neighbor has a zillion tulips in their flower bed. I mean, I don't think they've ever had that many tulips before, but they're beautiful, and that's exciting, and green things are happening in my yard. The trees are leafing out, and It's just action. It's life. We are witnessing life. And life is God. That's it. Life is God. And, it's actually another word for God, source, all that is. Life. Life. Life that has no end, no beginning and no end and no opposite. So it's just showing up now. And to think about, I mean, honestly, in the spring, to think about those little tiny seeds that push their way through the earth and bloom and grow is just, I mean, if you just take that into a meditation with you and ponder that, holy cow, you know, that is just a phenomenally powerful thing to even think about or just sit with for a bit in quiet. But in this session, what we do, you know, nature is coming back to life and we use the session. We can do anything you want in that 15 minutes. We can focus on anything you want, but it's a great time right now to use the momentum of the season, use that life, that fire, that cardinal energy of spring to release limitations and be available for new opportunities. You know, momentum and limitation don't go together. You know, and limitations take up space in your space, right? And we only have so much space in our space. So by clearing those, it makes us available for new opportunities, for whatever we need, for just appreciation of what's going on outside, you know? So anyway, it's a great session and it will be at a very, very reduced rate for 12-day, 1-2-day. So I just want to say thank you again for listening. However, and whenever you do, there is programming on 1-2 Radio 24/7. And there are archives of all of the shows from all of the hosts in the on-demand section at 12radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. And it's just, why not? You know, it's a great source of inspiration, information, support, and passion from many, many different voices and many, many different areas of study. But it truly is all to support you. So I invite you to take advantage of that. And I just want to say thanks to Serena right now for producing the show today. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a few minutes of a song called Wisdom Keepers by Zingaya. This is from, I believe it's from the Souls on Earth CD, but I was going to double check that. I'm not sure. But it is from Sequoia Records. So enjoy it, and I will be back right after. And again, I'm excited to talk to you today. I've got so much good stuff to share. So I'm happy that you're here. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You're listening to Empowerment. Enjoy the music for a bit. music. That is really one of my very favorite pieces of music from Zingaya. I love it. It's very empowering to me. It just has a wonderful feeling to it. It was called Wisdom Keepers, and I chose it not only because I really love it, but because it's the perfect song to segue us into the teaching segment. Pardon my voice. I'm calling the topic Pearls because I'm going to share pearls of wisdom from my very favorite teachers. And it's kind of interesting the way it came about. I was cleaning out a drawer in my desk, straightening out a drawer in my desk, one that I always use, that I kind of put, you know, pertinent stuff, like kind of sort of present time stuff. And then when I get a new present time thing that takes the place of it, I put it in. And so I was just kind of cleaning stuff out. And I looked in the back of the drawer and I found a little notepad that I used that was absolutely full. And I started looking through it. And it had all these neat quotes and things in it. So that was my hello to talk about, again, some old stuff, some stuff that I learned a long, long time ago from primarily New Thought teachers. But I also, you know, aside from that little notebook, I also have spiral notebooks and files labeled good stuff. Just filled with notes from YouTube videos and radio shows from people, teachers that contributed significantly to my spiritual evolution since 2008. And that's another thing that makes these very special, because that was at a very interesting time in my life, 2008. You know, I've been listening to tapes and reading and studying since the mid 80s, studying spirituality. But in 2008, I married Channon, my husband, and we moved to Las Vegas because his company closed here in Colorado. And so he was the only person left. Everybody got let go, but Channon and Diane. And, he was vice president of purchasing at that time. And they said, if you want to stay, if you want to still work for us, you have to move to Vegas. So we moved to Vegas. And then later we moved to Phoenix again because of a transfer within the company. I moved back to Denver at Christmas time, 2011. But he came back April 1st. 2012. So he came back a few months later because he wanted to finish a big project before he left. So 2008 was a big year for me, a big year for me. I married the love of my life. That was the highlight. And that made a lot of other stuff easier. But I rented out my house that I love, my soul sister that I've owned now for, it'll be 34 years on tax day. And I left ICI, Interconnection Institute, teaching and taking classes there. And I left my painting business and family and friends. So it was a big transition, a big transition. As soon as I got settled in, though, I went back online at 1-2-Listen. Now, I'd started at 1-2-Listen in 2007. Mark invited me, and I started in 2007. But during that year, at that time, I was teaching and taking classes at the Institute, and I was painting on a student painting crew with the School of Applied Arts, and then later on, my own business as a painter. And I was working 13-hour days, many days of the week, so I did not have the time to devote to being an advisor on 1-2-Listen. So I wrote Mark this long apology letter. And thanking him for the opportunity and appreciation and all of that. And he just wrote back, the door is always open. So, man, a few words, the door is always open. So before I left for Las Vegas, I went in, he had the 12th house, which was the brick and mortar store that he had. And I had prints of my watercolors in there. And I went to pick them up because he called me and he said, you know, we're packing stuff up. So come get your prints. And I started telling him, you know, that I'd met Shannon and what was going on. And he goes, well, come back on One Two Listen. So that's what I did. And I unpacked boxes. I signed on and unpacked boxes. And so that was wonderful. But the other thing I did is I immersed myself in Hay House Radio and YouTube videos and spiritual books that are still the foundation of my work and what I teach on this show. Las Vegas was where I was first introduced to U.S. Anderson by a gentleman that I was doing healings for. So he asked me if I'd ever read that or I think the other one was Saint Germain. And so I got a copy of U.S. Anderson's Three Magic Words, and that was an incredible thing. But I was first introduced to not only U.S. Anderson, but Neville Goddard, Louise Hay, John Randolph Price, Ernest Holmes. I can't talk today. I really can't. And Reverend Ike. So, and in fact, it was in reading Louise Hay's books, You Can Heal Your Life, that she recommended any book by John Randolph Price. He was a big, big teacher for her. And in one sentence, and I don't even know where it was, I probably couldn't even find it if I looked for it in the book, she mentioned Reverend Ike. Well, that was enough. You know, that was enough. I was familiar with John Randolph Price's Little Abundance book. That is the I think it's the 40-day plan for just changing your thought, changing your consciousness about abundance. And that's a fabulous little book. If you don't have it, it's a fabulous little book. And John Randolph Price is really, really wonderful. But I needed to investigate Reverend Ike. So I found that Reverend Ike was not an author. So, because, you know, I would have bought a book. But he had a lot of videos on YouTube. And that makes a lot of sense. Because he's a teacher to be seen, not read. It's his presence, his vitality, his spirit that comes through those videos while you watch them. I love Reverend Ike. I loved him from the first time I watched one of his videos. I tithe to his ministry. I have since 2011 or something. So he hit me. He hit me just in the right spot. I mean, he was definitely a teacher for me. And at the time that I started watching him, the videos that I saw were like, they were like 9 or 10 minutes long. They were very short, but they were so inspirational. By the end of one, I was flying so high. I mean, it just lit me up. It was so encouraging. It was just that jazz that I needed, you know, at that time when I was in kind of uncharted waters, you know, in a new place. So what's interesting though, is that still happens to me when I watch his videos. And you know, he was just a tremendous force for good. He really was. And what he taught, and really and truly what each of the New Thought teachers that I'm sharing with you today taught, was non-dualism. You know, his version of non-dualism is God in me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God in me. God in me. And he was just powerful, powerful, powerful. And you can see him. I mean, you can see him now. In fact, last week, so this is another, this was another tap on my shoulder that this was the right, this is my topic. You know, this is what I had to talk about today. So I get a newsletter from the Reverend Ike Legacy last week, an email newsletter. And basically what they do is they just recap the previous month and talk about what teachings were most popular and included a short portion of a teaching series called Life Ain't Nothing But a Setup. Another reason I love Reverend Dyke. I love the way he talks. But this was this little, it was about 10 minutes long, really. It is about 10 minutes long. And it's part seven of that series. So I listened to it. It was called a redemption affirmation for a new life. And it started by Reverend Dyke saying, redemption is self-redesignation. He said, theology deemed me a sinner, but Jesus deemed me and redesignated me as the Christ, the Son of the living God. The world deemed me poor, but God redeemed me rich. The world deemed me sick, but God redeemed me whole. I am deeming myself after God. To everything God said about me, I say amen. So I looked up the definitions of deem and redeem. To deem is a verb that means to view as or judge, regard or consider in a specified way. To redeem means to compensate for the faults or bad aspects of something. It means to save, to rescue, to justify, and to vindicate. And it just made me think. I mean, it got me going. Boy, that little bit of that got me going. And it made me think about how we deem ourselves in the different areas of our lives. You know, how we deem what we do, you know, how we deem our work, our relationships, health, finances, home, cars, I mean, etc. Every single, let me see if I can put this into words, because this is really what I'm trying to say is, every single thing in our life, we have deemed one thing or another, one way or another. What we like, what we don't like, you know, what we are sure about, what we're not sure about. It's hard. It's really hard to put this into words. So I had to say it that way. So, you know, again, how we deem our work. Do we love our work, or do we deem it as work? You know, what we have to do. You know, we work and then we come home, you know, that all has a designation, right? Each thing has a designation. We regard or consider it in a specified way. We view it in a specified way or judge it in a specified way. Think about that. Think about that in and of itself is kind of mind blowing, but we do, because that's how we live. That's how the human mind works. Everything has a quality. We give everything a quality, good, bad, or indifferent. And the thing is that the thing we're giving a quality to is just a thing. But the quality we give it is our perception. And you know, one of the things that Reverend Dyke said, a quote that I found in one of my little notebooks is, nothing is greater than or lesser than your belief about it. Period. We're master and commander. So, you know, if we think about that, how we deem, how we have judged or given a specific quality to different things or people in our lives, and how we can redeem, redesignate ourselves, and again, how we deem ourselves in different situations. You know, in different situations, as a mother, a sister, a friend, a spouse, a partner, you know, how we deem ourselves as parents to our pets. It's massive, massive. If you think about it and really let it run, which I'm letting it run further than I actually had before. But anyway, to redesignate those things, especially the things that we find problematic, or a judgment that we have about ourselves, or, you know, something that happened that we might feel guilty about or uncomfortable about. A relationship. I mean, it's endless. It's endless. But we can redesignate, we can redeem, change how we've deemed it to something positive. And that's a powerful exercise. Because again, you know, if it's good or bad, it's because you think it's good or bad. It is not in and of itself, whatever it is, whoever it is. So it's an exercise by redesignating, redeeming is an exercise in mindfulness and empowerment. So look at the things you might not like or things that you just kind of disregard and redesignate them. As powerful, as valuable, as just maybe even just neutral. Neutrality is power. It may be something that you can't redesignate to be something you love because you just don't. But you can redesignate it neutral and yourself in neutrality about it. So, at the end of that little video, Reverend Ike instructed everyone to do a redesignation ritual, setting up God's image of you in your own mind. How do you redeem yourself? Perfect. God's image of you. And you know what God's image of you is? God. Period. God. So that 10-minute video was inspiration and food for thought for days, obviously. Because I just ran with it. And after I watched it, I was just, honestly, I was just uplifted, flying for the rest of the day. And a few other jewels from Reverend Ike, my favorite quotes that come into my head is, you know, one of them is, creation's finished. God's got nothing more to give you. Nothing. Because we have God. We are God. You can never be greater than your own self-concept. And that's, I'm going to talk about that more in a minute. Nothing is greater than or lesser than your belief about it. I meet no one but me. And my two favorites, the power of made up mind is the power of God. And look good, feel good, and smell good. So, you know, as it goes for me many, many times, I'll find a teacher that I really love. And somewhere in reading or listening to them, they mention someone else. And so here's another breadcrumb, like Reverend Ike was mentioned in Louise Hay's book. I almost said I probably never would have found him. I would have. He's such an important teacher to me that couldn't have been the only avenue through which I would have found him. But they're like breadcrumbs, you know, I follow them. When somebody mentions someone, I'll check it out. And that's what happened with Neville. Reverend Ike introduced me to Neville Goddard, because in one of the videos that I watched of him, he said that the most spiritual book, the greatest spiritual book he ever read, aside from the Bible, was Neville Goddard's book, Resurrection. So I investigated Neville. I have every book he ever wrote, and I've read them I don't know how many times. He was a massive teacher for me. Especially during those three and a half years that I was in the desert, wandering in the desert for 3.5 years of Las Vegas and Arizona. But you can also find Neville on YouTube. But now I just want to make you aware, AI imposters, not only for his voice, which is very distinctive and very beautiful because he was from Barbados. He had a really lovely speaking voice and accent. And they don't even come close with what they've got up there for his voice. And they take liberties, not only with Neville, but also with Alan Watts and other teachers up there, by putting teachings on YouTube that are not Neville's, not Alan Watts, not these specific teachers. They, what they do, what AI does is it pulls together stuff from their original works and put it up on YouTube under their names. And a big tell is they have AI generated pictures of them, which do not look like them, if you know them. So I don't know. That just, you got to be careful now. And it's the stuff, you know, even though they take good information from their teachings, it's not them delivering it. And that's the energy. That's the love. That's the passion. That's the vibration. And that comes through along with and empowers and supports the words that they're saying. It's them. You want to hear it from them. So I just wanted to throw that in because encourage you to just be discerning. And you can look. Some of them now are at least saying AI generated. At least some of them are saying that. I don't think they all are. And some are saying, like Alan Watts, they'll say we are something like I'm a certified, somehow certified or designated TH. I think it's TH Inspiration that says I'm designated to share. Alan Watts, the pure Alan Watts. You want to hear Alan Watts? You can go to alanwatts.org. But some of these other guys, you know, Reverend Ike Legacy. Think about Reverend Ike is you're going to see him. Not listen to him. So you know you're going to see, you know you got the real thing. But anyway, back to Neville. Neville wrote a lot about self-concept. And it's a huge, huge, huge deal. The bottom line is that you're it. You are it. And everything in your world and in your experience is showing you what you believe. And good, bad, or indifferent, it is showing you how powerful you are because you are only going to see what you believe. So, you know, that's, as I said, good, bad, or indifferent, that's empowering. Because no matter what it looks like, the only thing you have control over is you. Therefore, you can change anything. Through your perception and through your acceptance of whatever is going on and yourself. As I said, Reverend Ike, you can never be greater than your own self-concept. You can't, because that is what you judge as reality. And again, for the third time, nothing is greater than or lesser than your belief about it. You are it, master and commander. Neville said, concept of self is all that you accept and consent to as yourself. It's your ego, basically. The following is from the first couple of pages of his book, The Power of Awareness. Consciousness is one, capital O, manifesting in legions of forms or levels of consciousness. There is no person that is not all that is. For consciousness, though expressed in an infinite series of levels, is not divisional. There is no real separation or gap in consciousness. I am, capital I am, cannot be divided. I may conceive myself to be a rich man, a poor man, a beggar man, or a thief. But at the center of my being remains the same. But the center of my being remains the same, regardless of the concept I hold of myself. I am is that which, amid unnumbered forms, is ever the same. This great discovery of cause reveals that, good or bad, man is actually the arbiter of his own fate. And that it is his concept of himself that determines the world in which he lives. And his concept of himself is his reactions to life. When you know that consciousness is the one and only reality, conceiving itself to be something good, bad, or indifferent, and becoming that which it conceived itself to be, you are free from the tyranny of second causes, free from the belief that there are causes outside of your own mind that can affect your life. In the state of consciousness of the individual is found the explanation of the phenomena of life. If man's concept of himself were different, everything in his world would be different. His concept of himself being what it is, everything in his world must be as it is. Creation is finished. Creativeness is only a deeper receptiveness for the entire contents of all time and all space, while experienced in a time sequence, actually coexist in an infinite and eternal now. In other words, all that you've ever been or ever will be, in fact, all that mankind ever was or ever will be, exists now. This is what's meant by creation. And the statement that creation is finished means that nothing is ever to be created. It's only to be manifested. What is called creativeness is only becoming aware of what already is. Neville said, "That which you seek, you already are." Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." And that gives you infinite possibilities of good to manifest in your experience. Infinite possibilities. Infinite. Once you become aware that they already exist within you and own them. To manifest anything, you must become it. And that involves faith. That involves faith. That involves working with it, softening up, practicing the presence, feeling the presence of God, feeling the presence of the kingdom of heaven within. Neville wrote, "Faith in God is measured by confidence in yourself." So a couple of my favorite quotes from Neville is, "God is known by experience or not at all." Simple truth, God is known by experience or not at all. And signs follow. They never precede. So the next teacher, pardon me, that I want to talk about is Ernest Holmes. My three favorite books by Ernest Holmes are Creative Mind, which was the beginning of the science of mind, Creative Mind and Success, and This Thing Called Life, which now has a different name. I don't know what the name is, but my book is old, and it's called This Thing Called Life, Life Being God. My favorite quote from Ernest Holmes, this is my very favorite. He wrote, "You exist that this power may have another, a unique outlet for its expression. The more life you express, the more of it flows through you. Therefore, every legitimate desire you have is the pushing of this power through you into its own self-expression. In this way, you are in partnership with the infinite." He wrote, "One of the ways of attainment is, of a necessity, the way of universal love, coming to see all as the true sons of God, one with the infinite mind. This is no mere sentiment, but the clear statement of a fundamental law, and that a man who does not obey it is opposing the very thing that brought him into expression. It is true that through mental means alone, he may bring to himself things, and he may hold them as long as they will last. This is the ordinary way, but we want to do more than compel things to appear. What we want is that things should gravitate to us, because we are employing the same law that God uses. When we so attain this attitude of mind, then that which is brought into manifestation will never be lost, for it will be as eternal as the law of God, and never be destroyed forever. It is a comfort to know that we do not have to make things happen, but by the law of divine love is all that we ever need. It will relieve the overworked brain and the tired muscle just to be still and know that we are one with the all in all. We must see only the good and let nothing else enter into our minds. Universal love of all people and of all things is but returning love to the source of all love, to him who creates all in love and holds all in divine care. The sun shines on all alike. Shall we separate and divide where God has so carefully united? If from selfish motives alone, we must love all things and look upon all things as good, made from the substance of the Father. We can only hope to bring to ourselves that which we draw through the avenue of love. We must watch our thinking, and if we have aught against any soul, get rid of it as soon as possible. If we do not at the present time love all people, then we must learn how to do it. And the way will become easier when all condemnation is gone forever and we behold only good. God is good, and God is love. More than this, we cannot ask or conceive. And that's from the creative mind and success. And going back to that last thing that he said, if we do not at the present time love all people, then we must learn how to do it. And the way will become easier when all condemnation is gone forever and we behold only good. Well, I think the way we learn how to do that is through acceptance. I think it's through acceptance and surrender. You know, the opinions, the things that come up, let them go, let them go, let them go. Back to the four agreements. Don't take anything personally. Don't take anything personally. It's simply acceptance. What is. That person is the way they are. Okay. I may not like it, but I can have it. I accept that. And just saying I accept that. I accept myself as I am. I accept that person. I accept the situation. I accept the circumstance. Man, it's just like a wave of ease flows right through my head and through my whole body when I do that. It's letting go. It's releasing all power, control, and responsibility for everything to everything, capital everything, God, all in all, as Holmes said. So lastly, or maybe not lastly, right now, next, let's say next. excuse me. I want to continue in this vibration, so to speak, of love. And how important love is, because love is not human, by the way. Love is not human. Love is our divinity manifesting, demonstrating. Love is God. Love is God. And so through acceptance, we kind of get out of and surrender, that I said a minute ago, we get ourselves out of the way so that love can flow through us. We don't forgive. Forgiveness is divine. We get out of the way. We sacrifice our feelings about things. We sacrifice our feelings about people. We sacrifice our judgment about ourselves. We just sacrifice it. I like the word sacrifice. It means it's gone. It means it's gone. It's like sacrificing as in taking your sacrifice to the altar outside the temple, you know, in Jerusalem. And it's a fire. It's a holy fire. And you just throw it in, or you surrender it to the void, you know, Brahman, the void, or to God, or to universe, whatever your word is, whatever makes sense to you, that when you say, I sacrifice that, it is gone out of your space. So whatever your most powerful term is, use it. But that's how you stay clear. I don't know is another way. My three magic words. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to forgive. I don't know how. I don't know. But that which lives me does. Therefore, I relinquish all power, control, and responsibility for it, before everything, back to everything. And also, as Joel Goldsmith called it, the governing, maintaining, sustaining, and discerning principle in my life. I give it the responsibility because I don't know. Because I don't know, I'll just mess things up if I'm working at it from my human mind and struggling. So anyway, now from John Randolph Price, I want to talk about prayer. Like he wrote about praying for another person, which is also an aspect of love and an aspect of oneness, non-dualism. Simply put, he wrote, or let me just say it this way. I'm saying this. Simply put, you get into the atmosphere of God, as Joel Goldsmith taught. And you do that by contemplating with relaxed intensity the attributes of the infinite I, the God self that you are. And you can start just by saying I, being quiet, being still, and just saying I. And as you say I, because the I of you is God, I, Reverend I comes into my head. I am is the name of God and also the nature of the law. Because whatever you add to I am, you become. So just by saying I, connecting to that, feeling that resonate in your spirit, in your being, is very, very powerful. And then after I resonates, you go to I am. Then John Randolph Price wrote, when you're there, ponder the incredible love, the incredible wisdom, the perfect life, the radiant light, the dynamic will, the awesome power, the absolute truth. As the feeling of the presence begins to expand in your consciousness, pour all the love of your being into that presence. Let love fill you and wash over you and spill out before you until love is the dominant vibration of your entire consciousness. At that point, gently bring the individual into your awareness. See them clearly and begin to flood that person with your love. See the love flowing from you in streams of radiant energy, literally saturating and enveloping the person. Keep radiating the love and watching the scene in your mind until the object is seen only as a brilliant energy field of love and light. And slowly then withdraw your attention and consciously release the person to spirit. Ooh, that's powerful. That is a powerful, powerful practice. And a great way of entering into that atmosphere of spirit, getting yourself ready, is using this a portion of a John Randolph Price meditation that starts out, I know that my purpose as a personality is to be constantly, consciously aware of the divine consciousness within, the holy master self, I am in truth. In the silence and stillness of my being, I am now aware of this blessed sacredness, and I feel the presence flooding me with light. You can take anything into that light, that atmosphere, and infuse it with God, with love. You can take your desires, relationships, problems, the world, anything, and watch them fill with truth and love and healing until they are absorbed in it and by it. And disappear into it. And then you detach because it is done. And you feel that. You feel that you're complete. And as you come out of it, you come out as healed as the person or thing you worked with. It's powerful. Really, really powerful. Well, I think I might continue with pearls on a future show because this just didn't even scratch the surface. But I hope that what I shared with you today was empowering. You know, empowering. These are fantastic teachers. And it feels so good to go back and revisit the teachings that just meant the world to me and still do. I'm on fire now. Not on fire. I'm on a peaceful fire. Say it that way. I'm just filled with it. So anyway, I hope you're blessed. You've been listening to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. We're here on 1-2 Radio. We're changing the way that you listen to the world. Have a very, very blessed week. And please stay tuned for Katie Weaver. Bye, everyone.